Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Ho-ho, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Good Thursday, everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Contreras with you for the next 3 hours, and boy, do we have an unbelievable show today. We got a couple of great guests, guys that have really made an impact in Major League Baseball, and we'll share that with you here in a minute, but I want to get the phone numbers out to you today. After last night's ball game up there at Dodger Stadium, I'm sure a lot of people have an opinion on what happened. I couldn't believe it. I mean, Kershaw... We know he struggled in the postseason, but holy Toledo last night. Back-to-back pitches end up out of the ballpark. The Nationals tie the game. They win it in the 10th inning on Howie Kendrick's grand slam homer, and the Dodgers season after 106 regular season wins is over. I mean, I can only feel for the Dodger fans today what it is like. I mean, you talk about the air being let out of the balloon. Unbelievable ball game last night, but a great effort by Davey Martinez's ball club. He got some real players on that team, some real gamers, and Kendrick, one of them. I was telling Braden a couple of years ago when he was with the Dodgers, I was down on the field prior to the game, and Adrian Gonzalez brought Kendrick over and introduced me to him. And well, I got to tell you, right from the very first minute. Now, if I saw Howie Kendrick today, he wouldn't recognize me, next to a can of paint, okay? But I got to tell you, in the short conversation I had with Howie, what a marvelous guy, and what a guy that's had a great career. Of course, he played many years up there with the Angels, but a huge win last night, a great effort by Strasburg after giving up that two-run homer to Max Muncy in the first. He hung in there. Yeah, he gave up the homer to Kike Hernandez, and they went down 3-0. But I thought Strasburg really showed a lot of moxie in that game last night. I thought he really hung in there. Maybe didn't have his best stuff. I think the umpire squeezed him a couple of different times. But overall, I thought he did a great job. Walker Buehler did a great job as well. And then they turned it over to the bullpen. Kershaw couldn't get it done. And boy, you got to feel for a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who's a stand-up guy, and we'll play some of his comments after the game here in a little bit on the program. But Dave Roberts just getting torched right now, absolutely getting torched. But, you know, really at the end of the day, what are you going to do? I mean, I was talking to a baseball official this morning on my way to work, and he said to me, he goes, you know, as good as the Dodgers are during the regular season, they're not built for the so-called short series, the 3 out of 5. They would be better in a 5 out or, you know, a 4 out of 7 series. But at the end of the day, you got to get the job done. And the Dodger hitters really didn't get the job done in this series. I mean, my goodness gracious. Bellinger was awful. Seager was awful. And A.J. Pollock, he had as many hits as me and Braden combined. A.J. Pollock, seriously. Here's a guy they spent a ton of money on. We know his injury history. He was 0 for 13 in the series with 11 strikeouts. I mean, he was dreadful. Seager hit 150. I mean, a guy like Cody Bellinger had one double in the series. He hit like 211 for the series. Seager hit 150. You're not going to win when you got core ball players like Bellinger and Pollock and Seager not getting the job done for you. Justin Turner played great. He did a marvelous job. We could sit here until we're blue in the face and second-guess Dave Roberts move after move last night. After in the seventh inning, Kershaw struck out Adam Eaton to end the inning. You know, maybe he should have went right to Kenta Maeda, but he decided to allow Kershaw to start the eighth inning, and boom, Anthony Rendon. Boy, how much money is Anthony Rendon going to get in free agency? I mean, he's a walk-away free agent, led the National League in RBIs. He's going to get a ton of money, but he rips one out of the ballpark, and then that young 20-year-old phenom, Juan Soto, takes the very next pitch out of the ballpark, and they tie the game up. And the Dodgers really had no answers late in the ballgame last night for the Washington Nationals. So if you'd like to chat about that today, you know, a lot of people are wondering today, and we talked about it yesterday and even the day before, if the Dodgers were to lose Game 5, would Dave Roberts get fired? I don't know. I mean, we saw Gabe Kapler this morning get fired by the Philadelphia Phillies, and he hasn't had anywhere near the success of a guy like Dave Roberts. I mean, Dave Roberts has gotten this team in 4 years. They've had over 100 wins two of the 4 years, four division titles, two World Series appearances. But, man, they go out in the NLDS after a 106 wins this year. Pretty amazing stuff. I wonder what the TV networks thought last night. I wonder what they thought. I mean, Washington's a good market, but it's not L.A. And now they've got to sit here, and you've got a series of Washington taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. And I think Washington wins that series. I think Washington is going to get to the World Series. Now, in the American League, we got Game 5 tonight, and that's going to be an interesting game. It'll be interesting in a variety of different ways, but I'm anxious to see how the pitching goes in this ballgame. If Gerrit Cole can be as dominant tonight as he was last Friday night in Game 2, where he had 15 punch-outs, can he do that again tonight against a red-hot Tampa Bay team? Tyler Glasnow starting for the Rays tonight. How deep will he go into the ballgame? How deep will Kevin Cash allow him to go into the ballgame? Because he's got the best relief corps in all of Major League Baseball. So we can talk about that today on the program. We got a couple of great guests today. One of them is going to join me here at 12:30. We're going to have a good long segment with the former Padre. He earlier this week had a preliminary interview with the San Francisco just for their managerial position. Mark Kotze, great guy. You remember him with the Padres. He had a 17-year big league career. Right now he's a quality control coach for the Oakland Athletics. He'll join me in studio today, so we'll visit with Kotz coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then later at 1:35, I've seen this guy around the Cathedral Catholic campus, big, strong guy, hit over 300 Major League home runs, won a Gold Glove, appeared in an All-Star game, and was the 2005 World Series Most Valuable Player. Jermaine Dye going to join us on the program today. So we got a lot to get to today on the program. We'll get into a little NFL. We got the Thursday night football game. It'll be right here on 97.3 The Fan. You've got the matchup of the 2-3 New York Football Giants going into Foxborough to take on the 5-0 New England Patriots. Right now the Patriots a 17-point favorite. If you'd like to talk a little college football, we can talk about the Aztec matchup on Saturday night. There doesn't seem to be, and Brayden, I'm going to bring you in on this. You and I seem to be pretty giddy on this game on Saturday night between Wyoming and San Diego State, but it doesn't seem like our listeners really give a damn.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody call in and talk about this big game. It's going to be a big game on Saturday. And again, like I said, it's you see Wyoming as a name, you see San Diego State, you don't think it's that sexy of a matchup, but that's going to be a good hard-fought football game on Saturday, and that's something to do in town definitely this weekend.
And I realize, again, it is a 7:30 game, it is on local television, but if you haven't been out to a game this year, this would be kind of a fun game to go to. The Aztecs have some other games coming up that'll be pretty good. I know that last game of the year, they got BYU. I think they'll fill the stadium for that one. They'll probably get 40,000+ for that, but you know, I would hope that it'd get at least 35,000 on Saturday night.
Yeah, and you'll see it on TV, and they'll probably have an attendance close to that, but on TV it's going to look like the stadium's empty because the stadium's so large.
That's a very good point. Hey, we got high school football tomorrow night. We got a good matchup out in the East County. Looking forward to going out there to Granite Hills High School. They're going to play host to the Grossmont Foothillers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game on Friday night. It's good to go back out to Granite Hills High School. Our inaugural broadcast was out there a year ago. They're fired up to have us out there. Gwen and Chris will be there live from 3 to 7 before we kick off at 7 o'clock. Get out there early. They're giving away KSON Country Fest tickets out at Granite Hills. So if you're going to the JV game, Gwen and Chris will be giving out Country Fest tickets out there in East County at Granite Hills High School. It's going to be a packed game. It's going to be a big game out there in East County. Get there early, hang out with us, and then be sure to listen on the radio.com app or on 97.3 The Fan.
And, of course, tonight we have our high school football show for you high school football fans. We're on each and every Thursday. We are going to take Halloween off here in a couple of weeks, but we'll be on 9 to 11 tonight, and we'll have Tom Carl, the head coach at Grossmont, on tonight. We're going to have Kellen Cobbs on from Granite Hills, their head coach, and we've got our reporters all over the county that will share some of the big matchups for tomorrow night in high school football. I want to give out a couple of ways to get a hold of us during the program. I realize a lot of you folks are out there working. It's hard to pick up the phone. I always enjoy your phone calls, but if you'd like to get in touch with us during the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at 973TheFanSD, 973TheFanSD. My personal Twitter account is at CoachCantara44, at CoachCantara44. Of course, our Facebook, 973TheFan, our Instagram, also 973TheFan. And Braden mentioned the radio.com app. Good way to take us with you for all of our talk shows, all the high school stuff that we do here on 97.3 The Fan. Go to radio.com and just download that, and you can get us anywhere you go. And, of course, our website is 973thefansd.com. And our phone number, if you want to get in the rotation right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. 0973. And of course, we've got our big Grand Slam giveaway that's going on right now. Listening at the at 57 after the hour, 12:57, 1:57, and 2:57, our Grand Slam giveaway. We'll give out a keyword. You need to text, and it'll give you a chance to win your share of $160,000. One thing I got to say about this radio station, Braden, is I don't know if I know I've never been on a station that has given away more prizes. I mean, we give away tickets to events around town. We give away trips to Las Vegas. I mean, it's amazing. Every day we're giving away something.
Absolutely. Giving away tons of stuff each and every day. To all the many stations here and SeaWorld tickets, and we see the Ultrastar Cinemas tickets and events around San Diego, California, and events out of town as well.
We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll get out to your phone calls. We're going to continue to take a look at what happened to the Dodgers last night. We'll hear some of the post-game from Clayton Kershaw. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And remember, coming up at the bottom of the hour, former major leaguer, current quality control coach of the Oakland Athletics, Mark Kotze, will join me in studio. Coach John Cantara, thanks for joining me today right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swing a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
Well, you can tell that was the Nationals radio network on that call last night. Howie Kendrick there in the 10th inning, a grand slam homer over the center field wall. And we're going to hear right now from Davey Martinez talking about how proud he is of the players and how proud he is to be the manager of the Washington Nationals.
I'm really excited, one, for the boys in that clubhouse that fought all year. You know, as you all know, you know, we were 19 and 31 at one point and turned this thing around. So I've said this all year long that these guys, this group is resilient. They won't quit till the last out, and they play hard, you know, every single day. As far as this franchise, man, I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this franchise. For the fans who showed up, you know, through all those miserable days that we had early, hey, thank you. Appreciate it. And yeah, we're playing for National League Championship. A lot of fun.
Hey, when your ball club's 12 games under 500 early in the year, you hold out hope, but that team could also have gone real sideways. Davey Martinez definitely could have been let go during that run, but they came back and had about a six-week stretch where they were really, really one of the best teams in all of baseball. Here's Davey Martinez talking on the veteran Howie Kendrick. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to get out to your phone calls as well. And, again, if you'd like to dial us up, 833-288-0973. We've got Mark Kotze coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's head out to Don in Santa Ana. Don, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
I'm very happy. It was what happened last night. You know, I was ecstatic. I couldn't get to sleep for a couple hours.
You know, Don, I saw you don't normally tweet, but you tweeted last night. You're pretty fired up about the Dodgers getting beat, weren't you?
Look, I was born in the Bronx. So I was a big Giant fan. I've hated the Dodgers for over 70 years. Okay? Is that a good explanation?
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. About the Dodgers. What pisses me off is everybody says that the Dodgers have a great organization. A great organization has no World Series victories in 31 years with a very high, super high payroll every year. The Yankees are a great organization. Same with the Cardinals. And most recently, the Giants that won 3 titles in 5 years.
That is correct. And the Dodgers, I'll tell you, Dodgers are still one of the best teams in baseball. They just weren't able to get it done those last 2 games against the Nationals. But you know what? The Dodgers will be back at it again next year, and they ought to be, I think, just as good.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, they'll be back. But when the hell are they going to win a World Series? It could take them another 31 years?
Well, the last one they won was in 1988. Don, enjoy
exactly.
Your day. Thanks for the phone call, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Okay, babe, I'm going to go up there and watch the game in the afternoon with the Astros and the Rays.
All right, look forward to it. Hey, be well, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
There you go, Don in Santa Ana. I saw he doesn't tweet very often, but last night he was pretty fired up that the Dodgers got beat. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973. Let's get back to Davey Martinez talking about Howie Kendrick.
What I know from Howie is he's going to give me everything he has. It may not always be good, but at the end of the day, I know what I'm going to get. And I couldn't be more proud of him just staying in the moment, you know. And, I mean, things happen in this game, but we worked really hard to keep him healthy all year to get him here today. And, man, I'm so proud of him. I mean, huge, huge moment for him and for this team.
Well, it was huge considering Howie Kendrick made those 2 errors in the 1 ball game. And you probably should have been given an error on another ball. And then last night at second base, he let a ball go through his legs early in the game. Here's Anthony Rendon talking on facing Kershaw.
He's been doing this for so long, and he's been great for so long. But I think we just, maybe you want to say we got lucky tonight, or, you know, we just wanted to be aggressive. We knew that, well, I personally knew that he is always going to be around the zone. He's always going to be a strike thrower. And we wanted to be aggressive and just try to put the barrel on it, and we just happened to get him tonight.
Anthony Rendon, people are starting to really find out who this guy is. Early in his career, he had a lot of injury issues, missed considerable time, but when he's in there day in and day out, he, I think, is one of the best players in all of baseball. Here's Dave Roberts on his decision to stay with Kershaw there in the 8th.
Well, with Kenta right there, it was one of those. Clayton, I felt good about Clayton right there at Eaton, and when you got Rendon and Soto, so I felt that I like Clayton. I threw, I don't know what it was, a couple pitches, and we had Clayton ready for whatever today.
Well, it just didn't work out. I mean, you go to the well, and sometimes you get the water. Sometimes you come up a little dry. And unfortunately, last night in that 8th inning, Kershaw unable to get the job done. Here's Clayton Kershaw standing in his cubicle after the ball game, talking about his performance.
I know it feels good to win. I know it feels really bad to lose, and it feels really bad to be right in the middle of that tonight. So, it's just a bad feeling, and I don't know how to describe it. Have a group of guys that you've spent your entire season with, 8 straight months, battling, competing, and, you know, it just ends all of a sudden like that, and you're to blame for it. So it's a terrible feeling. But like I said, I'm going to continue to compete. That's the only thing I know how to do, and I'm not going to get down about it about myself. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I just feel sorry for these guys in this room. That's really about it.
You know, last night on Twitter after the game, and I realize Dodger fans were disappointed. I think a lot of fans that follow baseball, they want to see, hey, if the Southern California team's in it, they want to see them win it because, you know, we don't want the teams from the East to win it. But last night, I mean, people on Twitter were just vicious. They were saying that Kershaw should retire. Are you kidding me? The guy is still one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. He had a bad night, and I realize he's had a bad career in the playoffs. But to retire, I think that's a bit much. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. We're going to break a little bit early today because I want to get a good long segment in with Mark Kotze. Kotze will join us next, and we'll get back to your phone calls as well. Remember, coming up at 57 after the hour, we've got our big Grand Slam giveaway. So make sure you stay tuned to the radio, and we'll throw out that code word at 1257. Coach John Cantara, we're going to 3 o'clock today. Thanks for joining me right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Uh, 12:33 the time on a Thursday. Hope everyone having a great day out there. Like I've said, Thursday's a fun day to be on the radio. You got a lot to talk about as we get ready for another big weekend in the world of sports. And this gentleman sitting to my right, I'm really excited about having him in because I got a great deal of respect for him. I followed his career out of Cal State Fullerton. He was a first-round draft pick of the Marlins, had a 17-year big league career, had two different stints here with our San Diego Padres, was a hitting coach in 2015, took a job in 2016 as a bench coach for Bob Melvin up there in Oakland, and we know how good Oakland has been the last several years. He's now the quality control coach. Mark Kotze joins me in studio. Kotze, how we doing?
I'm doing well, Coach. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, quality control, Coach. For the fans out there, you know, that's kind of a new thing in baseball. Talk a little bit about your job, your responsibilities.
Well, that's just the thing. I'm kind of responsible for everything, but in charge of absolutely nothing. So it's a great role. I enjoy it. You know, it's a dynamic role, and it was created by our general manager Bob Melvin and myself to allow me some flexibility during some times that we address some family issues with my daughter. And, you know, I mentor the guys. I have a locker room. I have a locker in the locker room, which gives me that relationship, a different dynamic than the coaching staff necessarily. One that builds trust, and through that role, I've also done some evaluating, outside evaluating. So when I'm not traveling with the ball club, I still watch from afar, and that's extra set of eyes outside gives it maybe a different perspective on maybe seeing things that you don't see when you're involved in that environment every day. So it's been great, you know, and I couldn't be happier with the relationships that I've created and with the freedom and guidance that Bob and David both give.
Oakland's having a pretty good run up there right now. A lot of good young players, got some good young pitching as well. Talk a little bit about working with Bob Melvin for a year and a half. You were his bench coach, and then because of a family situation with your daughter, you decided to come home and take over as the quality control coach. But talk about Bob Melvin, because I think a lot of people around baseball at least consider him one of the very best managers in all of baseball.
I think you hit it on the nail on the head there with you know, his title as one of the best managers in baseball. I think he's one of the longest tenured now that Boach has stepped away from the Giants. That being said, Bob does an exceptional job of, you know, the relationship side with the players and the communication process. So for me as a mentor and being under Bob for the last 4 years, the growth that I've had as a coach, someone that's been able to see the process and how he takes every day an opportunity to communicate. So yeah, he's a role model. He's somebody that I would kind of build my future hopefully around in philosophy and culture.
Mark Kotze joining me in studio here at 97.3 The Fan. You know, after you got done playing, you took just a brief, I think a season off. You went to work in the Padre front office. Eventually, you ended up being the Padres hitting coach. Then you got this opportunity with Oakland. What was it like working in the Padre front office? Because you probably had an opportunity kind of like Trevor and Mark Loretta when he was here. You get to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I did, Coach. You know, I actually didn't even take a day off. I retired with the Padres, and I was blessed. I continue to reflect back on that day that I was my last Padre game in Petco, and what the Padre ownership and management did for me and my family on the field. I still am very grateful, very thankful for that. But I rolled right into that role in the front office. The very next day, I went. Josh Burns and I sat down. At the time, Josh Burns was the general manager. I signed a contract to stay in the front office, and as you said, go through an education process of how the front office worked, and also evaluating minor league players in our system, evaluating amateur players, which I quickly found out is it's an art, not a science. Believe me, but. You know, and then I also got to be on the coaching staff and be involved in the major league side. And through that process, through that year, I realized that I gravitated towards the coaching aspect of things. And so the following season, I signed back up under A.J. Preller. Through the course of my first year in the front office, we had a change of regime. And A.J. took over as a general manager that year, and I signed back up that offseason in November, not knowing that Buddy Black would come to me and ask me to be the hitting coach at that point. And that's when I decided to jump back into the dugout. I put the uniform on next to Buddy and became the Padres hitting coach in 2015. And throughout that course of that season, there were some changes made as well. So, you know, I've experienced the good and bad of being in uniform from the player perspective, going through the ups and downs, and then also the coaching side, and the relationships have always been there, and that's what I value most.
What was it like working for Buddy Black?
Amazing. Buddy's you know, one of my favorite coaches to be around and manager to play for. Very relaxed, very very thoughtful in the way he manages the ball club, and you know, he's a personal friend of mine. He's someone that I reached out to talk about the process of going to interview and try to take the next stage in my career.
You know, last week when you guys got eliminated, it popped up on MLB trade rumors right after the game. It had this nice picture of Mark Kotze in his Oakland A's uniform, and I was looking for your phone number. I couldn't find your phone number, but I remember I had emailed with you, and I emailed you right after the game that night and said, hey, sorry about what happened, but hey, I'd love to have you on the show, and you got back to me, and you're here today. But it's been reported that you did have a conversation on Monday with Farhan Zaidi, the head of baseball up there. He's not the GM, but he's the head of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants. He had a little preliminary interview. What did they ask you in those interviews?
Well, Coach, it was a long day. Started around 10:30 in the morning with some coffee with their head of pro scouts and also head of amateur scouting. Amateur scouting, Michael Holmes, which was a relationship there from Oakland, where he was the assistant director of amateur scouting. So that was comfortable. It was a great environment. Zach Manazian, who was from Milwaukee, is their head of pro scouting as well. So baseball conversation, which was great. Baseball guys, you know, that led into a group environment with Farhan, and thus the day went long. It was great. It was a really good experience. One that, you know, I learned a lot from, and hopefully we'll continue to go forward with the process if I do get that opportunity.
Well, you know, the thing that I've shared this with the fans over the last couple of days, I was talking about Phil Nevin, I was talking about Mark Loretta, the guys that you're friends with. And I think they're all very worthy candidates out there. And now that you want to manage as well and you made it known, the thing that I noticed when you were a player on both different stints here, but especially the second, where you were more older, you'd been there, done that, you had a specific role here, you know, come off the bench, swing the bat, occasionally play in the field. But I noticed how the players really gravitate to you. And talking to people that, like Orrin Freeman from the Marlins, I talked with him several times over the years about you. He goes, the one thing about Mark Kotze, even when he came out of Cal State Fullerton. He was always a student of the game. And, you know, talk a little bit about relationships with teammates and players that you work with, because I've just noticed how players like to really gravitate towards you and pick your brain.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, Coach. As far as just relationships in the game, it's what I do value. And through the process of my major league career, and as you said, you get older, you realize the value of those relationships and how to develop them and how to nurture them and continue growth with them. And so definitely has benefited me where I sit today, looking back on my career and understanding how I've gotten here. With those relationships, it's not about self-promoting. It's not about how do I, obtain something that ultimately sometimes you think you have to promote yourself for, and you just value those relationships. And creating those starts with conversation. It starts with meaningful conversation, getting to know somebody firsthand, talking about more than just, hey, how are you today? It's how's your family, and getting into depth. So in-depth conversation is something I really enjoy, and you know, I understand that that's value.
When you look back, can you believe you played 17 years in the big leagues?
I can't. 17 years is a long time. I spent 17 years in a major league clubhouse, and at that time when I retired, I was 38. So, I mean, almost half my life spent in a major league clubhouse, and now I continue to be in a major league clubhouse, which I really enjoy. It's a part of who I am. It's part of my passion and love for baseball. And there's no greater place to spend an afternoon in a clubhouse talking baseball, right?
We're visiting with Mark Kotze, joining me today in studio here on 97.3 The Fan. Mark, why has Oakland been so successful? I mean, they have the low payroll. They continue to bring players up from the minor leagues. They produce. Every once in a while, they may go out and, you know, grab a free agent, but it's not going to be one of those guys that's going to break the bank. But how's Billy Bean and the whole gang up there gotten this done year in and year out?
If I'd have to use one word, I think it's continuity. They have grown players from within, but they also make trades from the outside. And I think the culture's been built from the minor league development system. You look at Keith Lippman, who's been the player development minor league coordinator for over 35 years probably, and he's established a culture down there. And those young guys come up and they maintain and bring that culture into the major league clubhouse. And if I was to name the players that I watch every day, it's the Matt Chapmans, the Matt Olsons, the Chad Penders, the Marcus Semien. Even though Semien didn't go through our minor league development system, he came into a culture that was established. And the longer tenured A's, Mark Canna, Josh Fegley, those guys have brought that to the major leagues, and they established it. And it's one that they identify with the system, they believe in the system, and that's a credit to Bob Melvin and through his process. So loyalty is another word I use with the A's. A lot of tenured employees, not just coaching staff, but throughout the clubhouse staff to the front office staff. People have worked for the A's for an extended period of time, and it feels like home when you walk in that clubhouse and through those doors.
You still live here in San Diego, and your kids go to school here, and you've made this your home. So you obviously are paying attention to what's going on with the San Diego Padres right now, and they've got this quote-unquote number one ranked farm system, and that's great, but eventually you got to get those guys to the big leagues, and they got to be able to produce. But when you take a look at the Padres right now, what are your thoughts on the direction they're going? I know they haven't contacted you yet, but hey, Mark, he'll take your phone call probably, Padres, if you want to give them a call. But talk a little bit about the Padres and where you see them going, because you still follow them.
Coach, make sure you publicly say that I did not ask you to promote myself for the Padres.
Oh, no, please. Not at all. Not at all. Hey, you know what? I was talking yesterday about Phil Nevin and Loretta and
right.
You. And I know all three of you guys pretty well. And I know what you guys are all about. Any of the three of you would do great with the Padres, I think. I think the fans would love it, too.
Well, you know, it would be a great opportunity to sit down and have a discussion, right? As far as the Padre organization goes, you know, it's been made public. They're in a win now kind of environment. And as you said, they do have a great prospect system. Best in baseball, I think, or one number one.
Yeah, they're considered number one right now.
So as those prospects come to the big leagues, as we all know in the game, it does take time to develop sometimes. They don't always pan out at the major league level. We can do projections as much as we want, but we all know that when the lights come on and there's a third layer to the stadium, that performance sometimes wavers, and that's something that they are going to have to develop and in time see whether or not those guys are actual major league players. And I think they've done that this last season. I didn't follow the Padres religiously or very closely, but I do know they have some young, talented players in their system. Your shortstop is a dynamic player in Tatis, that one that you can be built around, and as well as a group of veteran guys that can lead this ball club as well. And I do see success in the near future, and I do wish the Padres a ton of success.
All right, let's jump to tonight. You got the ALDS Game 5. You got a very good Tampa Bay team going against the Houston Astros. You've seen Gerrit Cole up close and personal, probably seen too much of Gerrit Cole the last couple of years there working for the A's. Tell us a little bit about him, and who do you like in this matchup tonight?
You have to favor the Houston Astros. Starting pitching, Gerrit Cole on the mound. Best pitcher in baseball this year. He's dynamic. They're going to have a home crowd. The players seem to have a ton of success at home as opposed to the road. The Astros' home road splits, I think, would say that. I haven't really dove into the numbers, but
you're in the off season now. You don't need to dive into the numbers.
You're right. But if I was to say, Tampa's a great team. They've got a nucleus of young players. Kevin Cash has done a phenomenal job getting them to buy into the system. They don't have definitive roles. They don't hit in the same spot in the lineup. They create their lineup based on matchups, which I love. And it's something that the game has evolved to. Players recognize that. And I think tonight's game, you'll see some interesting moves from Kevin Cash. Obviously, we watched the game four, where it was a bullpen night. We've seen that firsthand in Oakland, and that's difficult. It's difficult to get your timing down. It's difficult to really at-bat make adjustments because you're seeing a different fastball with life. You're seeing a different slider. So it's going to be a great game, but I do think if looking at it, Houston has an advantage tonight with Gerrit Cole.
Okay, let's get to the two NLDS games. That game yesterday, could you believe that St. Louis put 10 runs on the board before Atlanta ever came to bat? I mean, that was amazing.
Well, if you didn't have the TV on, you didn't know they put 10 runs up. But
I was sitting right here, and every time it was 5-0 when I looked up, then it was 7-0, then it was 9-0, then it was 10-0, and I couldn't even get to a next segment because they kept scoring runs. It was amazing. They scored 10 runs while I did one segment.
Without a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen all. In today's game, that definitely doesn't happen. I think the A's, we were a part of three innings where we scored 7 runs in an inning without a home run, and we thought that was magic. So, scoring 10 runs without hitting a home run in today's game was pretty dynamic.
We're visiting with Mark Kotze here in our 97.3 The Fan Studios. You know Dave Roberts very well. You're a very close friend to Dave Roberts. Boy, I got a feel for him and the Dodgers today. That's a tough way to go out after winning 106 games.
It was a tough way to lose last night, and I know Dave took it hard. And in reading some of Dave's comments, he took was willing to take responsibility. But, Coach, at the end of the day, the players play, and you try to give them the best opportunity to have success. And second-guessing Dave's going to do us no good because we didn't have all the information. We don't know the matchups. We don't know the analytics to the matchups. We don't know, whether the ground ball rate versus a particular pitcher was higher or a pop-up rate was greater and which pitcher you were going to bring out of the bullpen lined up right. So to go into detail to it, it's just unfair without all the information.
Hey, did you think when you came out of Cal State Fullerton as a Golden Spikes winner that 20 some years later you'd be talking about analytics about baseball?
Well, I think we did talk analytics. We just didn't talk it in the data form. And as I continue to grow in my mindset with how we implement the data and how we use the data based on our visualization and the numbers, it's a feel. It is a process, and it's something that you can't ever gauge until you get that opportunity to be the one in charge making those decisions, really.
I want to go back to something you said a minute ago about, moving guys around in the batting order. I know when I was coming up, I always wanted to hit cleanup, and if I got moved down in the lineup to fifth, I felt a little bit out of sorts. And players back in those days, they I'm a cleanup hitter, or I'm the fifth hitter. How easy is it now, though, because a lot of the players are coming up with the analytics. It seems like they're much more flexible now than maybe the old school ball players were.
I think they are, and that starts in player development, as I talked about. You know, the growth of players when they transition from the minor leagues to the major leagues, you want them to be ready for every role. You want them to have gone through situations in the minor leagues that aren't going to surprise them when they get to the big leagues. So whether that's a shift, whether it's playing four outfielders, whether it's taking your third baseman and then putting him over in the second base deep hole and bringing your, you know, leaving your shortstop there. So you want them to be prepared in the minor leagues. And I think that's a testament to the player development guys. Once the player gets to the major leagues and you can watch their progression, you can watch their growth. But the lineups are made out today as individual matchups. It's based on who's going to give you the best opportunity to get on base, who's going to slug the best. So if you have a stud that plays 150-plus games, and he's hit and proven himself, and the numbers represent that he should hit in the top three of the order, then he's going to hit there. But the way roster construction is, with the flexibility, the versatility that's getting created in the game now, it allows you some maneuverability with what you do with these nine guys and how you try to line them up to give your team the best chance to succeed.
Mark Kotze joining me in studio here for a few more minutes. You know, I always kind of wondered, because I watched you play at Cal State Fullerton. You'd come out of center field, and you'd come in, and you'd close out ball games. Was there ever just a little bit of Mark Kotze that would like to have had an opportunity to pitch an inning in the big leagues?
I'm still looking for that opportunity to pitch an inning in the big leagues. Someone asked me that question the other day, if I had, you know, really gone that direction, do I think I would have had a 16-year major league career? I said, well, if I would have gone through Tommy John, maybe they would have gave me a little more velo to be able to withstand it. But I was real pleased with the progression of my career, where I started, how I started. And so I would never second guess it. But Boach had me up one day in the bullpen late in September, I think it was 2002. I was all fired up. I think I threw five warm-up pitches, and then it was a double play, ending double play. You know, obviously I didn't get the chance to pitch, but it would have been fun.
Talk about playing for Bruce Bochy.
You always just knew that Boach wanted the best for you. He wanted to get everything that you had, you know, out on the field from you. He believed in you. He made you feel confident when you walked up there to take an at bat, and when you failed, you didn't walk back feeling as if you weren't going to get another opportunity. So Boach, day in and day out, put his hand on you, touch you, that big goofy smile he's got. You know, he knew how to communicate. He knew how to make you feel right.
Now that you had that preliminary interview with San Francisco, what do you got planned for the offseason, unless you get named manager here pretty soon?
Well, I'm managing a 12U travel ball team.
Attaboy.
So I've got some managerial experience. But, yeah, we're going to travel a little bit. Possibly take a trip to the Bahamas to see a good friend and current manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, Craig Council, and his family. That friendship started back in 1998. So we're going to do a little travel, and we're going to also go to Hawaii, I think, with the Hoffman. So we'll have some fun and yet, you know, be focused on if the opportunity presents itself, grinding on getting prepared to manage.
Okay, stay right there. I just have to do a giveaway here real quick. This hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is shuffle. Text shuffle to 72881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. Some good stuff right there. Saw Gabe Kapler got let go. Seven managerial jobs open right now.
Would you want to be a manager right now?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, it's a difficult environment, it seems. But they have their reasons. And obviously, it took them a little while to get to that decision. But I guess it wasn't an easy one. And I wish Gabe the best in his future. And I'm sure he'll land on his feet somewhere.
Well, Kotz, the best to you. Thanks for coming down today. And we'll be following your track. And as soon as you get that managerial job, watch that phone. You know my phone number is going to pop up, and we're going to get you back on the show.
I appreciate it, Coach. If the timing's right and it's meant to be, it'll be right.
All right. Very unself-promoter, Mark Kotze, I can tell you that. He's just a baseball guy, wants an opportunity to manage in the big leagues. And whether it's this year or down the road, he will get that opportunity because he's got a lot of people out there that are big Mark Kotze fans. I was telling you, my friend Orin Freeman, who we had on the program here a couple of weeks ago, he was one of the men that was responsible for drafting Mark out of Cal State Fullerton. And he told me that all the years he's been in baseball, which has been a lot, Mark Kotze is his favorite.
Thanks for
player.
Downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on demand audio from Ben and Woods, Winning Chris, and other Intercom San Diego station using the radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.